Michael, let me ask you first. A lot of people have been suspected of being the Zodiac through the years, but one, Arthur Leigh Allen, who is dead now, was seriously investigated. Tell us about him.
Well, Arthur Leigh Allen was a convicted child molester who was first turned into police in 1971, as far as we know, by an estranged friend who came forward to police and said that Allen had purportedly confessed to these crimes before they occurred, said that he was going to commit crimes similar to the Zodiac murders and use the name Zodiac in taunting letters to the police. The police investigated Allen for approximately a year, and at the end of that year, they really didn't come up with anything better than the story from that friend, and using the information they had, they were able to get a search warrant for a trailer Allen used in Santa Rosa, California. And they were unable to find any evidence, and essentially they dropped the investigation after that. And although he was the subject of interest in the years after that, it wasn't until December of 1990, after a best-selling book had come out and used him as a suspect under a pseudonym, that another person from Allen's past came forward, a member of an organized crime family in Vallejo, who was in trouble with the law. Facing many years in prison for armed robbery, he said that he would be willing to name Allen as the Zodiac if he was given his freedom. And they didn't give him a deal, but Allen was reinvestigated, and it was under that scrutiny that Allen died in 1992. There's a lot of suspicion surrounding Allen, but you know, for the most part, I think even Tom and many of the other people who have done a lot of other work on Allen themselves would agree that while there is some evidence to suggest that Allen should be considered a good suspect in some ways, most of the things you hear about Arthur Leigh Allen are, in fact, not true.
Tom, does he fit the description of that fellow who was in the cab?
No. The witnesses really didn't describe a bald Pillsbury doughboy, so he didn't fit at all. I'd like to say that, you know, the fact is that Allen was forensically, his fingerprints didn't match the Zodiac's suspected fingerprints, and his palm prints didn't match the Zodiac's palm prints. His handwriting didn't match the Zodiac's handwriting, and his DNA didn't match the Zodiac's. So, George, really, you're as good a suspect as Allen because none of that matches you either. So, you know, if we're going to start
Well, we haven't checked that yet. Have we?
Yeah, not yet. We will, though. But you know,
willingly submit it to you all.
Okay, thank you. But I mean, there has to be some criteria. I mean, there has to be some. I mean, I'm not a lawyer, but I do watch Law and Order, and I know Jack McCoy would probably laugh if some cop wanted to, you know, have him indict Arthur Leigh Allen when none of the big stuff, matches. I mean, just because he was a weirdo, and just because he had some very strange sex toys, and just because he made some incriminating statements or liked people to think he was the Zodiac. Doesn't mean he was the Zodiac. And, you know, there's a movie out that basically says he was the Zodiac. And I don't care either way because he either was or he wasn't. The fact is that if he was the Zodiac, then the person that turned him in 1969 is the one who should get credit for catching him and nobody
sure.
else. Really.
But, George, you know, the interesting point of what Thomas is saying is that, you know, no one would indict Allen with this evidence. And that's something that you hear quite often is that I think it's even mentioned at the end of the film that they were going to press charges against Allen, then he died, and, you know, he escaped justice by dying. Simple fact is that the evidence that exists, the evidence that existed then and exists today is certainly nowhere near even, it's not even what a police officer would want to bring to a prosecutor.
What about this Mr. X, Ed Neal? Who might that have been?
We're going to need a couple extra hours for that.
Who's giggling back there?
Yeah, well, I'll try and, you know, keep it short. But Mr. X was actually a suspect that I discovered with another investigator from out east by the name of Mike Rodelli. And he asked me to have a look for letters to the editor, wondering if maybe Zodiac had written to one of the newspapers here in the Bay Area using his own name. So using the search criteria that he had outlined, I'm not going to go into that because it'll be really super easy to find his real name.
Right.
I found a single letter that was very odd. He spoke about young, you know, children, teenagers, whatever, lying dead in the street. And he even referenced an editorial from a month earlier that mentioned Hitler, and I thought, gee, this is bizarre. And the name, it looked made up to me. So I made a copy of it, and I told Mike about it, and he, like, I know that guy, and it's like, you're kidding me. And we started looking into him, and there was a lot of really strange things. I mean, a lot of this information is already out there already, so I guess I'm pretty safe in saying it, but he lived not too far from where Paul Stein was shot by the Zodiac.
Mm-hmm.
There's pictures
in the general direction of where the Zodiac was last seen.
Exactly, sure. Not too far from his house. There's pictures out there that we found, and of course everyone has a different opinion of them, but there's one that I swear he looks like a dead ringer for the composite.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Now, that doesn't necessarily prove anything, because a lot of people look like that composite.
Yeah, and Tom and I have both spoken with that gentleman as well.
Yeah.
And did you pick up anything that would cause you to think that he possibly could be a suspect?
The way Zodiac's voice was described, confusing Mr. X with Zodiac based on his voice would be like confusing Regis Philbin for Chuck Liddell. I mean, it just doesn't fit.
But he was also a very friendly person who was very forthcoming, and there's no history of violence, no reason to suspect him of murder.
So you are ruling out Mr. X?
I would.
Absolutely. There's a lot of interesting things about this particular suspect, but they're all circumstantial, just like there is against every other suspect, and there's no smoking gun. That's the problem.
And Ed, that's the point, too. You know, after you have 45, 50, 60 people who come up with suspects that all have convincing circumstantial evidence, you realize the value of circumstantial evidence isn't that great.
Exactly.
Would you call Mr. X just weird?
No, I don't think he's weird at all. Weird. I think he's just one of those guys that, you know, just came under the crosshairs of someone looking for a suspect.
Yeah, no, I think the reason he's got a lot of weird things about him, but I wouldn't call him weird himself.
I'm a lot weirder.
Is he still alive?
Oh, yes.
He is.
Okay.
He was very friendly when I spoke with him just recently, and he actually sent me a copy of his autobiography. He sent one to Mike Rodelli as well.
He's that prominent?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Very. That's why we didn't name him.
And yeah, where does he live?
He lives in
San Francisco.
He lives everywhere?
No, he's in San Francisco. He's in San Francisco.
Bay Area.
He could afford to live everywhere.
He is a person of some wealth and notoriety in the Bay Area and other places.
I mean, would I know his name?
Yeah, you might. It's possible. He's the kind of person that he's not a celebrity, but I think in his circles he's well known. And, you know, we're all doing him a tremendous service by not using his name here tonight because there's absolutely no reason for him to really be a suspect. And he was very cooperative back in 2002 when ABC did a television special and asked for his DNA. And his DNA, you know, he didn't, you know, I would think the Zodiac would hesitate a little bit, but he turned it right over and it didn't match.